Good evening. Today is Wednesday, October 28th, 2020, and I'd like to call the Planning Commission to order. I would like to note that due to Governor's Proclamation 20-28, the Planning Commission will hold the regularly scheduled meetings via Zoom conference until further notice. I'd like to begin with a roll call. Vicki Malloy appears to be absent at the moment. Will Wiggs.
Present.
Ryan Kelso, present. Jim Newberry. Ed Martinez.
Present.
Joel Walensky.
Present.
And Carl Blum.
Present.
And Pat Hammersmith appears to be absent. On to administrative items to take care of. We have the meeting minutes from September 23rd to discuss, review, and approve. Seeing if each of you have had an opportunity to look at the re-edited version of the draft minutes from September 23rd, and if there's any discussion or a motion to move forward with an approval on that.
I have no problems with it. I move we accept that draft as written.
I'll second.
So we have a first from Carl and a second from Joel. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve meeting minutes from September 23rd, 2020. Next item is review and approval of meeting minutes from October 15th, our meeting from a couple weeks ago. Same thing, if there's any discussion or a motion to move forward with an approval.
I'll make a motion to move forward with approval.
I'll second.
So we have a motion to approve by Joel and a second by Will. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Meeting minutes from October 15th, 2020 are approved. Next, we will have our public comment period, where we will open the floor to any public comment not identified on the agenda tonight. If there's anyone in the audience that has or would like to just bring up an item in front of the Planning Commission that is not on tonight's agenda, you may do so at this time down at the
The best process to use, Mr. Chair, is for them to go to the bottom of their screen and where it shows participants, to click that and it will open up the list of participants. And at the bottom of that white column is a raise hand. And if you click raise hand, then we will acknowledge you.
Give it a brief moment here.
Bray Evans has a hand up.
All right, would you like to unmute Ray?
Yes, it's gonna be just 1 second, Ray. I'm gonna admit Vicki Malloy, she's a planning commissioner.
Okay.
Evening, Vicki. All right.
At least wave, Vicki, if you can hear us. Vicki, would you wave if you hear us? Her microphone isn't showing up on my screen to even unmute her. I just see her video camera.
He's connecting to audio.
I'm here. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Vicki. Okay. We're at public comment period currently, Vicki, and we have a Ray Evans that has an item to discuss or bring up to the board. Ray, if you would like to bring up an item to discuss, you may do so now.
Okay, I would like to discuss letter G on the workshop staff report, page 7 of 9. CPA 20-007, the small scale recreational tourist text amendment.
All right, Ray. So with this as a workshop, that is an item that's on our agenda tonight. And so we will be going through that and discussing that as a board. And you're welcome to listen to that discussion. But at this point, there's no comment open period for items that are on the agenda. So we're taking public comments currently for items that are not on tonight's agenda.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you, Ray. There will be a follow-up that will follow after this that you will have an opportunity to give comments to before anything is finalized.
Great, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ray. With that, we move on to old business, which at this point, there is no old business to conduct. Next, we have new business, which is on tonight's agenda, the 2020 Comprehensive Plan Amendments Workshop. And with that, I would like to turn that over to Catherine.
Good evening, commissioners. It's great to be here, and I'm really, really looking forward to working with all of you. So I'm Catherine Lorbeer, and I'm the Assistant Director for Community Development. And tonight, we're going to talk about the proposed comprehensive plan amendments. So first, Mr. Chairman, if you'd like, I'm prepared to go through each of them with a PowerPoint. And then I can field any questions you may have after that.
Sounds wonderful.
Okay, I will just take a second here to share my screens.
Catherine, Blake Baldwin is in attendance for when you're ready. I've asked him to unmute himself when you're ready for him.
Okay. All right, so hopefully all of you are seeing my screen. So before I get started, I did just want to be upfront about something in your staff report. There were a couple places where I got my east and my west backwards. So I apologize for that right now, and I will try to keep it straight as I'm talking about the properties moving forward here. So we've received 4 requests to amend the map in the comprehensive plan. And then the county has initiated 2 requests to do a text amendment. So the planning team did collaborate on the review of these, and I wanted to start by thanking our staff for getting these ready for you. So it was a team effort. If with this workshop, I thought I would just give you a brief summary of each of the proposals. And as Mr. Chairman, as you pointed out, the public and applicants will be able to provide input during the public hearings. So tonight there's no action being requested. So as you know, the comprehensive plan is our long-term vision of future growth and development for the county. And the Planning Commission is charged with reviewing and making recommendations on possible amendments. So each spring of the year, we put together a docket of possible amendments, and those could be either to the map or to the text. And then by the end of the year, we consider the proposed changes. We try to do it all at one time during a public hearing. So tonight is the workshop just to introduce them. And staff has not completed our review or analysis. So there is no action, as I mentioned, requested tonight. So I am going to start with the first proposal, which is actually the last one in your packet. And that's because we have other staff involved. And this is CPA 20-008. And this is a proposed text amendment that will add a list of public facility projects that are eligible for rural county tax funds. And it'll add them to our economic development element. And state law requires that we list them in our official plan, and that's in order to receive those funds. So Blake Baldwin, our economic development director for the county, he is on hand, and he may like to offer you a little bit more background. So Blake, I'm just gonna turn to the next slide, which is just an example from an excerpt from the plan, if you wanna share anything else with the commission.
Thank you, Catherine, and thank you, Jim and Mr. Chair and members of the commission. Again, my name is Blake Baldwin. I'm the Director of Economic Development for Chelan County. And part of my new role that I was brought on to the county just over a year ago, part of my role is to oversee and try to build a program to find ways to invest in community projects, public facility projects, how they relate to economic development, utilizing this rural county tax fund, or as we commonly refer to it as the 9/10 or 0.09 sales tax fund. This is quite a healthy fund. Chelan County historically has not utilized the fund as much as some other rural counties throughout Washington State, and this commission would like to see a little bit of a change in how we utilize these. The part of that is that in order to spend these funds, we must have be able to have a clear path to a project specifically or broadly listed in the county's comprehensive plan, and furthermore, the economic development element of the comprehensive plan. And so I our regional Port Authority director, who had a lot of experience helping Walla Walla County when he was with the Port of Walla Walla County, and figuring out ways that we could responsibly spend these funds and be under compliance with state law. And so he directed me to the Walla Walla Comprehensive Plan, Walla Walla County Comprehensive Plan rather, and these funds, and there's a very similar roadmap, if you will, that we've developed here. So you'll notice in this appendix that there really just is every definition of every project that you could probably think of listed under the sun. That doesn't mean that these projects are guaranteed, but these were developed, or this list was developed in consultation with our cities and some of the communities throughout Chelan County. We just try to use broad language so we can tie that to a project. So I don't have it right in front of me, but here on my phone, if I pull up the plan, you'll see certain language that relates to, say, installation of electric vehicle charging stations in Chelan County. And this would be listed under the section of projects of regional significance. This doesn't mean that this is guaranteed something that this board of county commissioners will work with our local jurisdictions to ensure happens. But what it ensures is that should that opportunity arise, we are able to do it legally. Same with we're looking at City of Cashmere, utility improvements, including new services, extensions, relocations, and rehabilitation of water, sewer, roadway, fiber optics, gas, so on and so forth. And so that's basically what we're trying to accomplish here. This will be working in tandem with a program that I am working with other county staff to build. It will be a local grant program for local jurisdictions, so local governments, as well as junior taxing districts, to be able to, if they have an economic development project, come to the county and be able to request funds. And then the commissioners will also have some flexibility in working in strategic partnerships with some of our partners across the county in the public sector. So I just threw a lot at you there. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to stand for them now and try to answer them to the best of my ability. But this is a commissioner request text amendment, and we're really excited about some of the opportunities that this could lead to down the road in economic development for Chelan County. So thank you.
Thank you, Blake. Is there any questions amongst the Planning Commission for Blake?
Yeah, this is Carl Blum. Mr. Baldwin, I have a couple of questions for you. So you said you reached out to the communities, I believe is what you said. for District 3, and in particularly in the Manson area, who did you talk to out in that area?
For District 3, I worked with Commissioner England, and I'm not sure who he consulted with there, but I know that I reached out to all of our incorporated cities throughout the county. So certainly the city of Chelan, Wade Ferris there, and Mayor Getty. But as far as the Manson area, that would be Commissioner England, and I'm happy to circle. I'm looking over that right now.
Okay. I might also throw in there for your review that the Manson has a UGA, and that UGA is represented by the Manson Community Council. And I would encourage you to reach out to them as they are very involved with the community. And I think they would be a good resource for you. My second question for you is, it seems to me that some of these goals, are they written intentionally to be so broad that they can cover potentially some specific projects that aren't listed if you were to be very specific?
Yes, if I'm understanding your question correctly, absolutely, that is the goal here. I think the general nature of economic development projects, for instance, there was a request that came in for these funds for $250,000 from the city of Wenatchee a couple weeks ago, and that was for an investment in the Lincoln Park revitalization. That request is on hold at this time as we are developing this program, but just to kind of give some context, we had no awareness that this project was coming down the pike. Another example would be, let's say, just this is a hypothetical example, but we have some developable land out in Malaga and in the unincorporated part of the county with good access to power, utilities, so on and so forth. If, next month, if a data center or some, just complete example, hypotheticals here, but if somebody came up to us and said, hey, we have this and how can local government help incentivize our relocation here, because we will be generating, $500 million in taxable revenues for the county on an annual basis or something along those lines. We want to maintain that flexibility to be able to tie that specific project to the comprehensive plan. Therefore, there are some very specific projects in here, things that our natural resources department is working on, for instance, like perhaps a white water park, which is kind of a cool manipulation of the river that can help increase fish passage, but also create waves for kayakers, so on and so forth. But then we also have very broad terminology around upgrades to utility infrastructure for the benefit of economic development. I hope that answers your question, Mr. Blum. Please let me know if you seek further clarification. I'm happy to provide.
Well, that was very good. Thank you, Mr. Baldwin. And you are a county employee, is that correct?
Yes, sir. I am. I'm a department head of the Department of One.
Okay. Very good. Would you object at all if I gave your information to the Manson Community Council and they could reach out and contact you?
No, sir, and please feel free to. I actually worked closely with them during the Chelan County CARES Act Small Business Assistance Relief Grant program, and I'd be very happy to reconnect with them and go over this list with them.
Great, thank you. That's all the questions I have.
Thank you, sir.
Any further questions from the commission? Thank you.
I will keep moving on if you like.
Please.
Could ask, make a request. Could you please, it's a big packet. It took me a long time to find this, I guess. If you could tell us a little bit ahead of time, like about what page it is. It's 243 pages long, our packet that you're gonna be starting so I can actually read along with the presenter. I'd appreciate it, thank you.
I will see.
So Catherine, I got their board packet up in front of me. So if you're going in consecutive order, I can give them approximate page numbers.
Yes, I am. I will just be running through the rest of them in order. Since we had Blake here tonight, I just thought it was a courtesy to let him go first. All right.
Call out the name of the one that you're going to be on the next point in your presentation, and I will scroll to the page and give them the page.
Okay. So the next one is CPA 20-001, and this is a map amendment application submitted by Ryan Walker for on behalf of Moonbeam Ranch LLC. So this
page 26.
Thank you. So this property is a little over 38 acres, and it is located on Chihuahua Loop Road, which is a county right-of-way. So this area is north of Plain. And the proposed land use change is from Rural Residential Resource 10, which is the RR10 that you see kind of in the darker orange color. And then the two lots to the south are also involved, and they are designated Rural Residential Resource, RR5. And the proposal is to change them to Rural Residential Residential, which is the three R's that you see there, and that is the green land use on the map.
So, I believe that's Rural Residential Recreational.
I think that's correct.
Our rural recreational residential.
Yeah. In the comprehensive plan, it says rural recreational residential. So as you can see, the proposal then would bring those existing land use, it would take it to the west. So those parcels, if that was approved, they would become the green color.
Which is similar across the street from it.
Right, right, which is what you see to the west there. And the rural residential designation, so right now with the existing land uses, they could do about three lots on the upper parcel, and then you have the two lots below, which are already at, they couldn't be necessarily split anymore. And the rural residential has a minimum lot size of 12,000 square feet if they meet health district standards. So that would lead to a development potential of 140 lots. The properties to the west there across Chihuahua Loop Road, those include the Thousand Trails RV campground development. And then the other parcels surrounding kind of to the north or to the east and south. Those are more sparsely developed with relatively, you know, large parcels. So the rural residential or rural recreational residential land use, that's considered a LAMRD, and LAMRD stands for limited areas of more intense rural development. And that designation, that designates areas where more intense existing development exists, and it's a way to minimize and contain those existing developed areas within rural lands. So LAMRDs, they're rural, they're contained and compact, and in a lot of cases, they were built before in 1990. So I took a couple photos while I was out there, so just so you can get a feel for the property. This is one of the access areas off of Chihuahua Loop Road. And then I'm looking kind of back north. That street sign down there is kind of the far end of the property to the north. And then I look the other direction just so you have an idea. All right, so the next proposal is CPA.
Wait. I'm sorry, are we allowed to make comments on this at all?
Yes.
Or are we just, okay, what I'd like to ask about, you've got the two smaller parcels that are RR5 and RR5, and the big one is RR10, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and then below the two RR5s, you've got, it looks like an RR5 with a residence on it close to the border of the two smaller ones. And then there's another 5-acre parcel, I believe, that's another home. So those are very rural. You can tell the intent was rural living. And so I was just thinking that if we could consider, if they would consider leaving the one RR5 parcel as RR5 and sell it as such, and then be able to utilize the other RR5 and then the large one to do what the rural recreational residential. That way they're not disturbing what was intended for that area. Now, is that something we comment on?
Mr. Chairman and Commissioner, I think that'll be something that you can certainly consider during the public hearing if there's some alternative that you think that the applicant may wish to consider. But as I mentioned, we haven't really completed the analysis in terms of how this links back to the goals and policies in the comprehensive plan. So you'll get a full report for your next meeting.
Okay, and thank you. And I'm sorry for it. I find that a lot of times when I have questions or comments, that it is not in line with the type of thing we should be discussing. So I feel like I'm interrupting the commission by making those statements or questions. So
I have a question just for my information. What so when you convert it from R10 to RRR, doesn't that allow you the capacity to basically just make a bunch of small lots with a dense population base? Or am I wrong on that? Because obviously right next door, RRR, that's a dense population base with Chihuahua Flats, I guess, right?
Yep, that'd be correct.
So, but what I'm wondering is that you kind of like affirm that, oh, well, only what I heard, and I apologize if I misheard, that it would be subdivided into 3 lots and then the top part, and then the 2 lots below would remain 2 lots. But that, does that mean that it's essentially 5 homes?
Mr. Chairman and Commissioner,
I think
what I was describing, sorry, my light keeps going out.
I think it's just a possibility of what they could do there, Ed. I think at this point they're just talking about what the zoning would be, not what they would do potentially with the property.
Okay, although they do have the right to have up to 141 lots with the RR or with the RRR, because they can have a minimum lot size of 12,000 square feet.
Okay, that's what I figured as well. Thank you for clarifying that.
Yes, Mr. Chairman and Commissioner, I was describing the 3 lots and the 2 lots. That's the development potential that they have under the current adopted land use plan with the RR10 and RR5. Their development potential, if they were to go to the RRR, would be those 141 lots.
Okay, thank you.
Is this a time that the applicant can speak about the application?
Mm-mm. I think that Ryan, we were discussing that that would be for the next meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. Continue, Catherine.
Okay, thank you so much. So I will move forward to the next request is CPA 20-003. And this is also a map amendment application. It was submitted by Dan Beardsley on behalf of Milliam Perry.
That is on page 78 or approximately 78 in your packet.
There is something on page 19 that says CPA 20-003. Is that not with Perry on it as well?
That's where I'm looking as well.
Well, there's a staff report at the beginning of the whole thing. And then the packet that supports the staff report are the pages I'm giving you.
Okay, so this property is 8.16 acres and it's located in Manson. The proposed land use change is from the commercial agriculture to the rural residential resource 2.5. So the existing ag designation today would allow one lot, and the proposed RR 2.5 designation would increase the development potential to three lots. It would also extend the RR 2.5 land use across its existing boundary of Wapato Lake Road. So there is an active short plant underway to divide off the upper residential home from the rest using some existing code provisions. So that's just kind of a little background. And then you can see from the land use map that the properties to the north, east, and south are also zoned commercial agriculture. So the proposed change would result in a loss of commercial agriculture lands that are certainly important to the community.
And the parcel size there is
8.6.
So it'd be a small piece, okay?
Right. And just a couple photos looking north. I'm kind of standing on the south end of the parcel. And then where the road intersects here, kind of looking back. And then this is near where the lower residence is. And then I'm just kind of flipping then back to the north. So I really just took the photos so you just kind of have a feel for where we're at and what we're talking about. So moving on to the next one is CPA 20-004. So this is also a map amendment, and it was submitted by Brent and Rachel Smith. So this property is—
Page number, I'm sorry.
Oh, yes.
So the packet page number is 107. Otherwise, it should be next in line on the staff report, which was the other set of page numbers you were referring to.
Okay, so this 3.42 acre piece is located on Lower Sunny Slope. And this land use change would go from the Rural Residential Resource 5 to Rural Village. So the Rural Village is the purple color on the map. So they'd like to change to the village. And that again would extend that land use westward from its existing boundary of Lower Sunny Slope Road. The property or the lands farther east, you can see, are within the Wenatchee urban growth area. So the proposed amendment would potentially allow for an increase on this parcel from one lot to a possible 12 lots in the Rural Village zoning district. And Rural Village is also considered a LAMRD. So again, that's used to identify more intense areas of existing development and to minimize and contain those existing developed areas within rural lands. So I only was able to get one picture on this one. And so I'm up on Lower Sunny Slope, looking back down, and you can see there's an area that's been cleared. And that, if you look back on the aerial, is this area right in here. So I'm kind of up here looking back down. So let me just flip back.
Catherine, could you tell me the existing zoning on that? I could look it up, but
It is Rural Residential Resource 5. So it's typically the 5 acre minimum, and they're okay. A little below that right now.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, and our next one is a map amendment that was submitted by Rudy Joya. I hope I said that correctly. Property is 10 acres and it is located at Webster Way in Kashmir. The proposed land use is from Rural Residential Resource 5 to the rural village designation. So again, the purple land use, they'd like to have the purple land use extend westward from its existing boundary of Webster Way. And produced to the south are zoned suburban residential and public in the Kashmir urban growth area.
Yeah, it's the fairgrounds area.
Okay.
Thank you. What if I could, just a question on, for, could you give us a little definition on rural village and what that means?
Yes. So it is, as I mentioned, it is a type one LAMRD, and it recognizes the existence of intensely developed rural residential developments and communities. And usually they have a density less than the 2.5 acres per dwelling unit. They typically don't have sewer service. This designation provides opportunities for redevelopment and infill of existing intensely developed rural residential areas. I'm just kind of skimming here real quick. So I hope that was helpful.
Yes, very much. Okay. I'll look it up over the course of the next 3-4 weeks. Thank you.
You're welcome. So again, these LAMRDs are rural, they're contained and compact, and they basically recognize areas of existing development. And so here's a couple of photos of the property. The house kind of at the corner there, just kind of panning around. And again, I took a couple photos so you have an idea of what's out there. Great. And our last proposal.
When we're looking through the packet, yes. I see some things written in red. Is that something that that you guys wrote, or is that something that for example, describe any known possible contamination of the site from present or past use. And they say, typed in NA, but in red it says potential ground contamination from historic orchard use. Is that, the red marking is what?
The red, Mr. Chairman and Commissioner, the red is staff doing the review, the CEPA review. And so we're going through, we look through the critical areas information. And if we have data, we go ahead and note it on there.
Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine.
Okay, and I will jump here to our last one, which is a text amendment application that the county has initiated. And that is CPA 20-007.
And this is the county initiating it and not a person of the public?
Right. It there was some prior administrative review that's in your backup materials that was requested by an applicant. And in response to that, the county did agree that we would go ahead and initiate this amendment and give the public basically an opportunity to evaluate whether there is a question of consistency in our plan. So as you know, it's common in rural areas to have some isolated commercial and tourist uses. So a question of consistency came up around what's considered small scale recreational and or tourist uses. So these areas, you know, provide necessary services to residents and tourists. And they also provide local areas with employment opportunities. But as I mentioned, because of a prior administrative review, we decided that yes, it would be appropriate to look at whether there's a question about, are we being consistent in our plan as to how we support new small scale recreation and tourist uses. So in each of the chapters, in chapter 3 and in chapter 4, there are uses that are listed that are appropriate to each of the land use designations. And in particular, some of those uses may include intensification of existing small scale recreation or tourist uses. But however, in some of the criteria, which I'll show you on the next chart, the language contains or new development. So it does not just intensification of existing, it says or new development of small scale recreation and tourist uses. So you have this chart in your yep. in your staff report. And really, I just wanted you to see how the current language is adopted in the plan. And I highlighted for you where in which of the land use designations it may mention or new development. So we are still, from a staff level, we're still evaluating all the related goals and policies in the plan that are related to recreation and tourist uses. And we also anticipate that we're going to get some comments on this from the state. And I know that you will also have public comment on this next month. But we just wanted you to kind of see the question that was raised about consistency. And for example, you see at the bottom there for the commercial agriculture and the commercial forest lands, there's a difference in the language, but that difference may be appropriate for it to be left intact because maybe it's more, you would think of having new small scale tourist uses cited in areas where there is public land and where there is outdoor recreation opportunities. While maybe in the commercial ag lands, it would be typical that those would stay more conserved because simply because of their significant value to the community and their economic activity that they create. So like I said, I just kind of wanted you to have a sense of what the questions are, and we will provide certainly some more analysis on this.
And Catherine, so yes. For clarification, the highlighted yellow words are currently the code as is, and it's just for referencing that they exist in those particular zoning districts, and then the ones that are blank, that language does not exist.
Yeah, I'm highlighting where the new, where a reference to or new development currently is adopted in the comprehensive plan. And okay. And some of the district or some of the land use designations only speak to existing, intensification of existing.
So existing, but no expansion.
No new development. Okay. So you might be able to intensify and expand an existing development, but there's no new introduction of any new development.
This is page 202 in your, approximately 202 in your packet.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so I just wanted you to see that there are definitions in the code for small scale recreation and tourism. But I guess I wanted to point out, I also gave you some of the uses that are noted in the district use chart of the zoning code, but I wanted to emphasize that the comprehensive plan is you need to think about kind of as the top level. It informs and drives implementation of the zoning code, not vice versa. So the phrase they use is you look up, you don't look down when you're trying to determine whether something's consistent or how you're gonna inform your decisions. So depending on how the proposed text amendment is resolved, whether we'd make changes or not, or whatever those changes may look like, the next step would be to make sure that the zoning code is consistent back with the plan. So I just share this definition just to kind of as background information. So next steps, we will be scheduling and noticing the public hearing for all these items. So that'll be your next month. and then we will publish a staff report, and you'll have a packet again to go with it. And then you will hold that public hearing and ultimately take action to recommend to the Board of County Commission either approval or denial of the of each of the requests. So thank you so much, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Do we need to vote on creating that hearing for November 18th?
We don't necessarily need to vote on it, but that was the planned next step unless you have other recommendations.
So
I have a couple of questions and a comment in general. So whenever we can work those in, if this is a good time.
I think generalized questions about what she's presented can be done at this point right now, Carl.
I'm curious how that 007 came into being. You said it was some administrative action was done before. Did someone request an administrative ruling?
There was a request, and it is in your packet. In the back of your packet for this item, there's a copy of the administrative decision that was given. There was a question about how uses were applied in the code and how some required conditional use permits, but that the comprehensive plan says that you can only have intensify existing development. So the response back from staff at that time was that the appropriate tool would be to look at amending the plan. And so the county agreed that we would go ahead and initiate this question and provide you information about existing goals and policies, and then we can decide whether the inconsistency really exists or not.
That background document is on page 202, or about page 202 of your packet. That is on Chelan County letterhead, and the top of the letterhead says administrative determination or modification.
Yeah.
Communication between RJ Lott and Dina Walter, who was then the interim director before I arrived.
It looks like it had gone through the hearings examiner prior to that.
That's right. I remember that now. Does anyone on the staff know why someone from Spokane is making this request?
And Commissioner, the request from the applicant was for that administrative determination. And then from there, because of the question of consistency was raised, we agreed that it was appropriate to have you look at this question.
Well, I understand that, but it okay. just seems to me that someone from, I don't understand the connection between a land use planner or whatever he was in Spokane is making this kind of a request. He must represent someone. I'm just curious if that ever came out.
Well, I think I know that that he's certainly interested in commenting on this item when you do conduct your public hearing. So that, you know, if there's any background he wants to offer, he could certainly do that.
Okay. I just have one comment in general about the process. And we continually seem to do this where we want to change land use designations at the request of people, but we never really know why we're doing it other than they have some, they may have told us or the staff that there's some plan that they have where they want to do this, that, or the other thing. And none of those plans ever really get looked at until later in the process when they make their application for that. And then at that time, if you or us or a hearing examiner decides that, no, you really can't do it that way, or you really need to do something else, then what we end up with is we've changed a land use designation and nothing gets done with it. I'm particularly concerned about agriculture land, AC, agriculture commercial, that gets changed and then nothing happens with it because of whatever. And now we've lost that land. And I just wish there was some other way of doing this process.
Yeah, I don't, Carl or Commissioner Bloom, don't think that's our purview. I think our purview is, do we think the change in the land use is what we want to do? And we don't really get to decide on, if we decide on they want higher density and we allow that to happen, that's moves on to the next step, unfortunately. But
I understand what you're saying. Yeah. I'm not sure I have I know a better way of doing it. It just bothers me that we're changing land use designation and we don't really know why.
So can you assume though, like for example, we're going to RRR from R10 or whatever. And we talked a little bit about that and it's obvious what's going to happen, right? What's going to happen is that wants to become 110 lots of homes. Can we make that assumption or is that not a proper assumption?
It's not necessarily appropriate, but because the land sometimes, you know, even though the zoning and stuff says that you have X amount of acreage that you could do that, oftentimes you'll never achieve that based on
economics.
Restraints.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Jim.
Not necessarily for the moment, but for future consideration after this meeting, I might draw your attention to page 212 of your packet. And it's the letter that was written to Dina Walter by Mr. Hume that raises the question and the issues that he was asking for originally on this. It's not specific to an individual parcel. He was calling out the difference between commercial forest versus ag commercial. And I'll let you read that yourself, but he doesn't have a specific example that he's dealing with. But you can at least see what he was saying to Dina when he raised the issue.
Thank you for pointing us to that.
Back to the land use, the designation that we would be approving or not approving. We have to assume that they have the potential of putting 141 lots on those three parcels. And what impact is it going to have on the things we consider as a planning commission? And so that would be my guess. I don't think we have the right to tell people, well, if you're going to do this, then we're not going to do it. Because we're talking land use, not what their behavior is going to be after it's changed or not changed. I do have one question that I find a little confusing, and I'm relating it back to when we were talking about the district use chart back on the topic we were on previously, back for several months. And the statement was said to me that, well, the district use chart, it is what you look at, not the comprehensive plan. And yet Catherine was saying that the comprehensive plan is the top thing you look at, and whatever happens based on that should be in line with what the comprehensive plan says. And so I'm confused. There's a bunch of silence.
So can I add in
Joel.
Commissioner Malo? I think actually the decision on land use should be based on, does it fit with the overall comprehensive plan? And does that comprehensive plan allow for that change? So read through the comprehensive plan and then determine if it aligns the change being requested. Does it fit with the overall comprehensive?
Okay, so
and I guess that's where the staff is going to put together, you know, their interpretations of how it aligns, and then it's our job to review that and say we agree or disagree.
So that's to prevent in the future changes to the district use chart that were inappropriate because they did not follow what the comprehensive plan said. Is that right? Is that why you guys are working on this?
Mr. Chairman and Commissioner, are you referencing the last item about regarding the small scale recreation tourist uses or just in general?
Just in general.
Yeah. Okay. So I think it's certainly, we always want to be considering whether the district use chart is appropriately representing the vision of the comprehensive plan. It is an implementation tool of the plan. So if some things are not in alignment and they need to be adjusted, yes, certainly we should consider that.
Okay, thank you.
So I'm guessing, I mean, I will learn, of course, you know, by trial and error on all of this, but I'm guessing the process would be that I don't really concern myself that this is going to basically affect the water table. Is this going to be, are they going to have concerns about septic in that area? What will happen? Well, how will it impact, like, say, for example, the amount of energy that they're consuming with 140 different homes? And it's really just right now, the process is right now is just to convert it so that that can possibly be discussed later. Is that right?
I believe so, Joel.
Mr. Chairman and Commissioner, certainly there is a high level.
Oh, sorry, Ed. Sorry. Go ahead, Catherine.
Certainly there's a high level consideration of environmental considerations, whether it be water, whether these areas can be served. I mean, if it's going to a designation that has to be, that are small lots that need to be served by sewer and not septic, and there is no sewer service in that area, it's certainly a piece that you would consider about whether it's appropriate for that land use to change. And if that's the intent of that particular area of the community. So it is something you consider. We just don't have a lot of detailed analysis of all those resources, but we have a high level understanding of them.
It gives you the possibility where they could become smaller lots, but not necessarily as small because the resources that are needed there require more space. So the lots end up being something larger.
Okay, right.
Should they occur.
And that would all be through the application process.
Correct. Okay. Any more further items from staff?
Chairman and commissioners, I just really appreciate all your great questions. And we don't have anything else on this item, and we will be back next month with the public hearing.
Thank you, Catherine. Amongst commissioners, any items in front of any of you that you'd like to bring up or discuss?
Just in general, I did hear the the commissioners talk today between 1 and 3 o'clock. When can we expect a packet back or can you give us any hint on that, Joe?
So may I speak to that, Mr. Chair?
Yes, Jim.
Jim, I'm sorry.
Any editing that was done today, if you recall, the process was Lisa was asked to go through the track changes version and first illuminate for them the changes that came out of the revised code for the second time, I guess technically the third time through the Planning Commission. And what was landed on. And then we backed up and went through and covered several areas of interest to them. But I don't believe that we took it as any formal edits were being made. So the existing packet as it's on the website or as you finalized it last week or 2 weeks ago is still the current packet. It's a workshop. There's not really gonna be any new materials put on the website after that, until we get to a point where they have, whether they do it piecemeal or in its entirety, vote for sections to be edited and they agree they have, like Lisa or I make track changes and they go, yep, we're going to keep that part of the code. When we get to that point, then we will look at a process for putting the link on the short-term rental website that show the progression as it's going along. But right now, we've had no progression. It's simply in a dialogue phase.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's unlikely that it would show back up or be returned to the Planning Commission.
Yeah, it won't be, I hope. Hey, I wasn't here, obviously I was late, when we were reviewing the minutes from the previous meeting. My name was spelled wrong in the last paragraph. I just wanted to say that.
Wendy will
know. You've already approved. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we did approve them, Vicki.
That could be a Scrivener error.
Your name spelling.
All right. I have no further items to cover tonight. So if there's a motion out there to move for an adjournment, we can do so.
So moved.
Second.
So we have a first by Vicki and a second by Carl. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, everyone, for joining us this evening. Much shorter evening than we've been typically having.
True. Bye, everyone.
Appreciate it.
Bye. Thanks.